This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Well, hey everyone, if you're listening, it's November. And you know what that means. It's time to be in the woods. Magical. Tell your boss that you're leaving early. Tell your wife you're not going grocery shopping tonight. Tell your friend that has a birthday party in the middle of November to be born another time. Oh, that friend that wants to invite you to that wedding? Well, fuck off, because I'm not your friend anymore. Because I don't want to be around for your anniversary parties and all your November holiday festivity bullshit. It's time to deer hunt. It's time to blow that stuff off. You can't be that guy that consistently kills deer every November if you're doing other things that don't have to do with deer hunting. Just keep that in mind when you get jealous online and you see somebody else kill the buck because they put the time in and you didn't. That's just my motivation. Welcome to the podcast, everyone.
A little bit serious.
Got a little dark, but hey, welcome. Steve's back.
I saw, dude.
All right, Steve's gone again.
Oh, God, come on, guys. I didn't even make it two words. Oh, man, it feels good to be back here.
Well, the Working Class Bowhunter is presented by Scent Crusher, scentcrusher.com. From the Ozone Go Max, to the closet, the Scent Crusher bag, all the goodies, the soaps, the sprays, they have all that now. Check them out. HHASports.com, the Optimizer Kingpin, leader in single pin sights, lifetime warranty, Elite Archery. We're shooting the Rituals. The Ritual 30 just dropped. So that's going to be, it's out at bow shops right now, actually.
Yeah, it is.
So check that out. Also, we are the featured spotlight show on the Big Tine app.
Oh,
so go to the app store, download that. I think we're going to do some giveaways. All our episodes are on there. Some of the Carbon episodes, all the other Big Tine partners are on there. So check it out on the Big Tine app.
Buy some gear while you're there too.
Yeah, they got some awesome gear. Ethics Archery, use code WCB for 10% off ethicsarchery.com. Static or spinning inserts. So you can kind of go either route. I'm shooting them and I'm blowing through deer. It's awesome. also, what am I forgetting? Our newest Carbon TV episode is out. It's the last actual episode of our season one on Carbon. It's called Hunting Memories. There's no guests. It's just me, Steve, and Eric on that one. And, we also have our pre-orders are ending tomorrow, which would be November 8th. If you're listening after November 8th, it's over. If it's November 8th in the morning, you still have time to get on order. There's the Hang and Bang shirts, and then there's the You Can't Trip Into a 150 shirts. I'll end them late Friday night, so get those in if you can, because the next time they're going to be available is maybe trade shows, and that's if we feel like getting them made. Also, big shout out to Loker Taxidermy, and I think it's Loudon or Loden, Iowa.
I think it's Loden. Be honest with you.
I'm going to go Loudon.
Yeah, I can't remember what he said. It's one of those, though.
It's
Lowdown, low.
It's
low
west
down
of Eldridge, northwest of Davenport, Iowa.
Ah,
so, yep. Awesome guy, great taxidermist. I got a critter there. We'll get more into detail on that on a future episode. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, we're going to have him on, and we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, he's a super awesome guy.
Really nice. Really liked him. Looking forward to getting my mount back, but that's a story for another episode. So let's just cut into it. Forgetting anything?
I think we're good. Let's start this.
Alrighty.
I'm Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody, it's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys, this is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Buckman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
Hey, this is Jules McQueen, and you are listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
It's really, really not that good.
It is time once again for another splendid episode of the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. We are right here at 1600 Buckslayer Place, the beautiful Buckatorium, episode number 253. I am Steve, and it feels weird to be back here. I know you guys aren't happy, but I got to fill out...
Bittersweet, man.
Yeah, contractual obligations. I have to be here, so I'm back, not on second shift anymore, and I am so happy.
Welcome back.
It feels good to be back.
I will say this is your kind of like spotlight episode on this one.
And I've already screwed up like three times.
I will say you weren't on any like legit podcast last month in October, and we set a record download month for ourselves. So that says a lot about what our listeners want.
I would just say coincidence.
I would say that I'm thankful for everyone that listens. And so if you listen anytime last month and you're listening now, we appreciate the hell out of you. Thanks for everyone that gave reviews and Carbon TV 10 scores and all the good stuff. So we appreciate the hell out of you. Hit us with a veteran military shout out, and let's get on with the show.
Are you all right, man? I gotta figure this out.
Don't try and turn this around on me. I own you. I'll mute your mic.
Yes, daddy. Anyway,
that should be my name for you for the rest of the hunting season.
Should I just call you Papa then?
Just call me Papa Kurt until the 15th of February.
Dude, if we ever get some WCB jerseys, you'll just be Daddy. What's mine? Going to be number one champ. Slugger.
Regretful son.
What's up, sport?
Sport. Yeah. All right, so the military shout-out here is, forgive me if I mess this up, but I believe it's CPT Captain. Greg Godfrey, C Company Commander, 63rd. Oh, that's a big word. Expeditionary. Oh, man. I've never seen that word before in my life. Signal Battalion, Fort Stewart, Georgia. He's a one combat tour in Iraq in support of Operation New Dawn. He also did a tour in Afghanistan in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. Greg, thank you for your service to this country. Please, one of you guys send me how to pronounce that big word.
You're doing great. Thanks, Greg, for your service. Greg is the man behind Tethered Nation saddles. And Big shout out to those guys. We have some saddles here in the studio.
Yes.
And that's a podcast for another time. We're going to get Greg in here. And I'm tagged out, but... these things, I have a feeling they're going to be dangerous. I haven't even used it yet, but I am already excited. So just a big shout out to Greg. Thank you for your service and that company. It's a top-notch product.
Yeah.
When we opened them, we just opened them before this podcast, and it just seems like top-notch quality everything.
Yeah.
Like no corners were cut.
I put it on, and it was comfortable. It was comfortable just having it on walking around. I couldn't believe it.
It's going to be... I'm excited.
Everything about that package, when you guys were going through them, it was like even like, you know, everything, all the stitching, it just seemed like a high-quality product.
We've been getting messages from people going, when are you guys going to get in the saddles? When are you going to get in the saddles? Da, da, da. And I'm like, oh, just wait.
Yeah.
Right, so there it is.
Should say, hold your horses. Get it, because it's saddle. Uh-huh. And I bet everybody didn't miss those stupid-ass remarks, but hey, here they are.
All right, well, it feels like we haven't been in the podcast for a while. A lot of shit has, it's been a week, but it seems longer. Not for you, Steve, but for us.
What a fucking while.
So, Steve, it was... I killed my first buck this year, October 20th, and you were hunting... Well, we're just cutting into it, right?
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, because I want to... touch on everything that kind of happened. Not that everything that happened when since I've been gone, but there has been some ups and downs that I kind of want to share too.
Yeah, as painful as it might be for you to hear the long drawn out story, you can do that if you wish because this is your success episode.
Yeah, people don't want to hear me talk clearly. So
okay, so let me just get us into it, and then I'll let you take the reins here. So
another saddle joke.
Yeah, damn it. It's too easy.
Kurt, why don't you just dig your feet into that little platform and hang around? Okay.
I'm going to hunt out of it like it's a regular tree stand, man. Anyway, October 20th, I shot my buck in the morning. So where I was hunting that night isn't too far from where you were. Well, no, it is. I was hunting.
It is.
It was. I'm thinking your other property. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you were out. I guess that's just where it is. I was going to say it's the same weekend I shot my first buck. Well, so we're a little delayed on this podcast, but you've been on second shift.
Yeah. So, and just to catch everybody up to speed. So, you know, I got out of here in like September or whatever. I think it was like the first week of September. Because I remember I went to that big wrestling show and I wanted to talk about it here and I never got a chance to. So that's how long it's been. So, you know, fast forward to season opening, about a week or two in. You told the story, and if I would have been here, I would have told it too about I had an unfortunate mishap where I saw the little buck come out in the field, and I damn sure wasn't going to get a tattoo. And like we've been saying, man, you know, just I'm trying to make this the best season that I've ever had and just try to put some antler on the ground, just get that out of the way, you know, get that slump buster out of there. And I made a shot, and, you know, you told the story. Me and Kurt went and looked, did not find this deer, did not find a trace of blood, but we kept looking. So, you know, I needed a little bit of redemption. So the next week I went out and had a doe come out in the field, shot it, dead deer, and I got my redemption back. So it was nice to find a... You know, nice to get a good arrow in deer and recover that deer. Kurt came and helped me with that process. So
we've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for that phone call for a long time.
Well, no, this is that.
Okay.
So the first one. So,
but what I'm saying is, like, even that though.
Oh yeah.
Because I was like, when you first told me, I was like, I was waiting for you, honestly, man, and. I was just like, your first buck is going to be like 180 just because we just give you shit. That you're going to be that guy that just kills a monster, and we're like, yeah, fuck.
Son of a fuck.
But anyway, sorry.
So, yeah, so I shoot this deer, and I drag this deer across a horse pasture, which that's a fun deal. Get it, and this is on a Saturday, so then.
Hey, pussy.
Dude.
Where's the violin?
Hey, pussy.
Listen.
Hey, what's up?
Remember
when I had bitch hands getting pulled out of deer through a fucking horse pasture?
Dude, I was like dragging.
Man,
this
there was no hills; it was just grass. Dude,
I was like, oh, was it up?
I'm
a real
dragging
big
this,
hill?
And like the horses are like following me with this dead deer. And like I remember at one point I was walking, and I'm like huffing and puffing because I'm like, dude, I'm really out of shape, man. And I'm like dragging this deer, and all of a sudden, like I just feel like a
Let me add in though that
a horse stepped on the deer's ear, and I almost fell down because they were all following me. It looked like the stupidest.
Let me add this in though. The deer that you shot wasn't big.
No.
I made it look big in the photo. I'm calling you out.
That's fine.
It was not a big deer.
That's fine.
You could have put it on your back.
I could have, but I certainly wasn't going to.
Sorry for the double P words earlier, everybody. I just had to call one when I saw
the double what? Yeah.
The P words.
You said the double P word. What is that?
Pussy.
Pussy?
I said pussy twice.
Oh, yeah.
No, I said it four times. Sorry again.
Well, because when you call it the double P, you mean like there's two P's in the word.
The double P words.
Oh, so you... All right, whatever.
Anyway, fuck
whatever,
off.
Whatever. So, fuck right off.
So, very quickly turned into a vulgar episode. We apologize, everyone.
My ears.
Explicit content.
So, it's a week later, so I got that redemption, and dude, I felt really, really good. And I was like, all right. So we're gonna, I was like, I got a deer down. I am not getting the tattoo. I got some meat ready to go. And I remember that Saturday that Kurt shot his buck. I called him, and he's like, holy fuck, man. What do you call
me? Called me in the morning on the way to the tree.
So I called you in the morning, and
normally I'm calling you.
And you're like, dude, what the fuck are you doing out so early? And I was just like, dude, I'm just going to drive there. I'm like, yeah, no, I'll have like a couple hours to kill. I'm just going to sit there. I'm like, I'm ready to go. And I know I got to my property, and me and you sat, and we talked shit on the phone for like 35 minutes, especially when you were getting there.
Yeah.
And it was funny. We're just talking shit, and you're like, all right, you know, I'm going to get ready to go. And I go, Kurt, you're going to kill this weekend. Like, you're absolutely going to, you're going to kill a buck. He's like, all right, man, you do the same. I'm like, all right. No, I said today, because we were talking about how the wind was. And so, you know, the hunt's going on, and I remember getting like a text from you at, I think it was like 9:30 or whatever, when you shot your first buck.
Yeah, on the 20th, October 20th.
So it was October 20th, yeah. And I was like, oh, shit, I called that. You know, I was like, man, that's awesome. And I just remember thinking, I'm like, shit, dude, I really need to double up. So didn't really see shit. I noticed there was a couple bucks in that field. So if you guys remember a couple of episodes, well, shit, early in the summer when I talked about that poor man's food plot that I put in.
Where, it looks really good.
Yeah, I didn't even have the tiller on this tractor, so I basically just took the bucket
that
was on there.
It's that big-time buck brunch, isn't
it? Yeah, I used big-time buck brunch.
Dude, my big-time buck brunch and my little plot looks incredible.
Fucking insane. Like, if we weren't sponsored by those guys, I would be telling you guys to go out and buy this shit. Because I literally took the bucket and I just scraped all the dead shit, because I believe they tried to plant some oats, and the shit didn't take, so I was like, yeah, maybe the pH level's off. You know, I don't know shit about that. I've heard a couple guys talk about it, especially on this podcast, but I don't really.
It's information I don't ever retain either.
Dude, I don't absorb information. I'm like,
and I work for an ag company.
I was going to say, I was like, that's depressing, man.
I'm like, pH levels? I'm like, how the fuck do you get pH levels? I'm like, should I get like a shitload of Trader Joe's water and pour it in a sprayer to spray this shit?
Okay.
You know, fucking cucumber water with a pH level?
Come on, keep going.
Oh, my God.
So, you know, I put this plot in. I'm like, all right. You know, maybe something good will come out of this. So, the wind was this was Sunday afternoon, and I'd seen some deer out there in that field from another stand that I was hunting. So I was like, okay, well, I'll go there tomorrow. You know, see what's up. Maybe I'll shoot a bigger doe. You know, than what I shot. And I get there and the wind is like perfect. I'm in a ground blind. Okay. I'm in a ground blind on this food plot. And when I get there, the fucking arm of the chair like broke. So you can't, it's a folding chair, like one of those lawn chairs. So I couldn't sit in it. I had to be on my knees the whole time. I'm like, oh, this is going to suck. And I was like, dude, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stay here, but I'm like, all right, just hang out here. And yeah, I think that I got there 2:00 or something like that. So this is pre-daylight savings time, so I got quite a bit to hunt. So a couple hours are going by. Man, I'm not seeing anything, but I'm enjoying life, you know, watching a little bit of porno and, you know.
Jesus,
I'm screwing with you. I was just seeing if you guys are paying attention.
Barely.
So anyway, it's about 5:30. And I go down to, like, I adjust my legs because I start to fall asleep because I'm basically just, like, on my haunches. And I get up, and I see antler. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I freeze. And I look over, and it's about 55 yards. There's a really nice buck standing right on the edge of this plot, like, directly across from me. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm looking, I'm like, dude, this looks like a really good deer. I'm like,
shit.
I range him. It's, like, 55 yards. I'm like,
wrong.
And, dude, no bullshit, dude. I'm looking at him. I'm like, I set my...
If I had a Trump soundbite right now, I'd be playing it.
I set my dial to 55. I'm like, don't do it, bro. Don't do it. And he's just standing there. But, like, his vitals... So there's this old dead tree that's right there with, like, its old wood stand.
This goes back to when Clint was talking about, if you've never shot at a certain deer and all this, you probably didn't listen to that episode because you weren't on it, but we got a lot covered, that if you don't have the experience of shooting at a deer, and especially one like that, and you're going to shoot him at 55 yards, wrong. Wrong. That wouldn't have ended well in any way, shape, or form.
Dude, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm like, okay, this would be awesome to shoot this buck because this is a great deer. And I'm just like, man, maybe he's going to come in. Because he's just standing on the edge of the field, just like scanning it. And I noticed, like, there's a branch like right off to my right. So this ground blind's tucked in. And there's another buck out in the field there. And I'm like, okay, he's a younger deer. I'm like, all right, maybe he's going to come out here. And he stood there just in that same spot for, seemed like 20 minutes. And I'm just like, dude, come on in. I'm like, I promise it's going to be a quick and easy death.
I promise you're going to be all right.
Because I'm not missing this shot. Because that after I had that.
So this buck you're talking about is the one you shot?
No.
Oh, it was one that was with the bigger buck.
This is the bigger buck. No. So,
this is the bigger buck.
This is the bigger buck.
Okay.
And I want him to come in, and because on that redemption shot, you know, I don't know what happened, but the deer that I did kill first, I absolutely smoked that deer. I was like, so I got my confidence up. I'm like, yes, son, it's ready to go down. I'm like, man, come in closer, it's going to go down. And I started running through scenarios in my head. I'm like, what if he just like walks like straight towards me? I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? Because if he comes straight and then takes a right, I got no shot. If he takes a left, it depends on when he goes, I might have a shot. So all these scenarios are running through my head, and I'm just waiting and waiting and waiting. Finally, he just turns around and just walks away. Like, that's it. It's over.
Like,
I'm
big,
like,
bucks do.
I'm like, dude, shit. So... this is about 5:30, so it gets dark around, you know, 6:30.
I remember you texting me after that buck came in and took off and whatever.
Because I was shaking, dude. I'm like, man, that would have been a good deer. Because he was about the size of the deer that you shot. So, you know, yeah. Looked real good buck, real clean. I was a little disappointed. I'm like, all right, well, you know, maybe he'll come back. And Kurt's like, you know, he'll come back. And I go, okay. So, I was figuring with the wind, the way that this plot's set up, there's like... he could work kind of a trail, and there's a big opening that he could come in again. I go, if he comes in there, he's going to be less than 20 yards. I'm going to smoke him. So I wait, and I start hearing some rustling going on, and I end up seeing a doe off to my left kind of working her way over. And I was like, well, if she comes in here, I'm going to shoot this doe because it's been like 45 minutes. I don't think this buck's coming back. So it starts getting real, real close to dark. And all of a sudden, I hear some more rustling. And I'm like, oh, shit, something's about ready to come in this field. I grab my bow. And by this time, I'd already turned it down to turn my dial down to 20 because I was expecting that buck to come working here. And
20 is like the home setting for people who don't have like a single pin.
Yeah, so I'm on a single pin. And I set it at 20 because if it's anything, you know, less than 20, you know, we're still good to go. So I was running through the scenarios just because, you know, I wanted to make sure, dude, if this happens, I gotta just make the shit happen, you know. So all of a sudden, it's getting real close to dark, and the buck that I ended up shooting, he comes in, and I see the big body, and I see a rack, and I go, oh, it's over. You know, I'm like,
it's over.
I go, dude, you know, my heart, it happened so fast. My heart rate, I felt it start pumping. Like, dude, as soon as you see him, mm-hmm. It's like that first beat.
Yeah.
I probably caught him on like the 8th or 10th, like heartbeat, like ramping up. It was like, doom, 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 doom. And he starts walking and I'm like, and this is something that I didn't think about. So, for those of you guys don't know, I shoot back tension when I'm hunting.
Yeah, you shoot the Scott.
I shoot the Longhorn Hunter.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's honestly because the finger trigger just I always got punchy with it. And the thumb, I got punchy
too. The finger trigger I found, and I was also a lot younger and inexperienced when I shot one. I shot one for a long time, but I felt like eventually I was like, I don't even remember like going through my shot process. That's why I felt like I did a lot with it, you know.
And that's the that's the thing. So I saw him come in, and I was like, man, this is it. I'm like, you know, it wasn't even a thing where it was like, you know, oh, I got to do this forever. It was like, I got to shoot. It's a Sunday. It's this deer came in. I got excited, so I drew back on him, and I figured him to be, you know, because I had ranged that shit earlier, and there was like one little plant like sticking up, which I arranged that as a point of reference, and I knew that was about 22 yards, and he was closer to me, so we were good to go.
Leave it there,
right?
Especially so, flat on the ground.
Yeah,
yeah. I was like, all right. So as soon as he came in, you know, I drew back. And I put the pin on him.
Hold on, can I intervene here? Pause that story right here. So like you can picture Steve drawing back, and then I'm pausing it for a minute.
Yeah,
this is what was going through your head. You could just see me like, Steve, you're so stupid. Why don't you ever kill a buck? And then everyone on social media, oh, Steve can't get it done. It's not Steve, fuck Steve. And then everyone like all that pressure. Did you feel that pressure?
You know what? Going out to the hunts, I did. I definitely did like
you know what I mean, like a movie where it's like you just see people in your like memory popping in of each corner, like you're so dumb,
dude. That,
you're
it's worthless. Like
you'll never get it done.
Why are you out here?
Yeah.
It's like
the Katie DRC just like I'm better than you,
dude. The Requiem for a Dream's going on all of a sudden. It's like
Larry McCoy's vest is like, you can do it, Steve.
His vest is talking to me through the zipper.
TJ Unger texting you a meme, like it's just all coming through your like. Your adrenaline flow.
Yeah, I'm like, oh shit, I shouldn't have taken them shrooms. I immediately, like, when I saw that big buck, that was like kind of the first thing I thought. I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see all these motherfuckers say, yeah, way to go, Steve, on this big fucking deer. But I think I kind of knew it was a long shot looking out there at him. But yeah, as soon as this deer came in, all that shit just went. It just
like,
cut out.
You're focused.
And yeah, dude, I got like into it because he was right there, and I'm like,
he was like, how close was he?
He was 14 yards.
Yeah, oh, so Jesus. In so your wheelhouse, man.
He came in, and again, I saw a rack and I saw a big body, and I just drew back, and he had stopped. I'm like, oh, perfect. I'm not gonna make a noise. I heard that click, and I'm still just holding it on him, click holding it on him, release, holding yeah. it on him, holding on him, holding on, and. Dude, that arrow releases, it smacks his deer, and he takes off. And, you know, it was the one thing that you ragged on me for about that first buck. It was like, dude, where did he go? What happened? And I'm like, man, this is going to be my inexperience. And for any new guys out there, take this advice from me. I know it's hard to do. Because that adrenaline's going, but like you need to get a hold of yourself. And that's why I was just trying to mentally prepare before the shot even happened, like an hour, you know, minute, 20 minutes, 30 minutes before that deer even came in, you know, was when I was already starting to prepare myself. Like, okay, if I shoot him, watch him, where's he going to go? How's he going to act?
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't do a good enough job.
The thing is, it took that experience for you to learn that and remember that.
And it, and
that goes back to that example. Like, if I could just tell you that, you forget about it in a moment. And, thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Now it's engraved in your head.
Yeah, because I want to get through, you know, this story without boring everybody. But if I can touch back on that first deer, dude, the pit, the sickness in my fucking stomach when we found that arrow was just like, oh, dude. And when we didn't find any blood and we searched for his deer and, you know, Kurt was like, dude, I don't want to tell you. Like, when we found that arrow, I knew this deer wasn't dead immediately. But we had to go look.
Yeah, you always have to look.
And that, what's weird is that buck that I didn't kill taught me more than any deer I'm ever going to kill. I'm saying this now, but
right.
But it did. It taught me a very, very valuable lesson where it was like, dude, you need to pay attention. You can't just pinch a shot off and start doing your hero. Yeah, shot that motherfucker. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
So I made sure that the The redemption deer, funny story, that deer didn't go but 50 feet. Like, I absolutely smoked that deer.
The one that you had to pull through a horse pasture?
Yeah.
Yeah, so which far, is tough.
I know. Should it, you always hope that when you shoot them, they run towards the fucking truck, but... So...
We're full of F-words today, man. I apologize, everyone.
Yeah, my bad. Well, this is real. This is real.
It's real.
This is how you talk to your homies.
Continue on.
So I shoot this
Continue
deer.
On, you piece of shit, please.
I felt that.
I felt that deep in my soul.
That was real. I felt that. When Kurt said, you piece of shit, I felt that.
I felt that, really.
So
I pinched shot off and I hit this deer. And so immediately, once I knew the arrow was going off, I'm sitting there telling myself, okay, watch where he goes. Watch where he goes. Pay attention. The arrow hits. He starts taking off like straight away. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that the arrow is sticking out, you know, because when he came in from my left. So I shot him on his right side, and he takes off, and that arrow is kind of kicking back. I'm like, oh, shit. You know, thinking, uh-oh, I hope this doesn't happen again. And he's running, but I was like, man, that arrow looked like it was buried in there. So I'm like, all right. Text Kurt immediately. I'm like, dude, Kurt, I shot a little buck. And he's like, no fucking way. I'm like, yeah. Because, all right, stay in the blind. He's like, stay in there. And like, he's like, daddy will be there in like an hour and a half. I'm like, all right.
That's my name until at least till hunting season closes, until after ATA, because I just want to hear everyone at ATA hear you call me daddy.
Except when Poppy's around, then I'm gonna have to call you Poppy in front of Poppy.
So, yeah. Okay.
So he takes off, and I'm kind of listening, and it's about like a couple minutes, and I don't hear a crash, so I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. I've had a lot of deer die that you don't hear.
Yeah, no, but and to me...
It helps the situation. It helps the adrenaline and the emotion if you do hear it crash. But, yeah, like Tank said, you don't always hear it crash.
Yeah.
The whole time I'm like, the deer's dead. And Kurt's like, hey, I'll be there. We're going to find it. I'm like, all right. It's about an hour and a half, and I'm like, all right, well, I got to go get something to eat.
That's a long drive, too.
Yeah, and I'm like, I got to go get something to eat. So I run into town. I go to the Walmart.
The Walmart.
And I, because my flashlights don't work, and I buy a headlamp, which, by the way, we are not even sponsored, but the Ozark Trail headlamp that's like $7.
They're
is
garbage.
The
no, they're not. They're garbage.
Bullshit. That is the best headlamp I've ever
You've
owned.
You've never had a good headlamp.
Dude, that one's like illuminating the shit. I
have
like
a good
it.
Headlamp, and I have one of those, and I used it for the first time as a backup in Colorado, and I like...
Oh, dude, I love that thing.
The worst.
I have a headlamp, and I just found more features on it, just like last night. It was insane. I'm like, holy shit, it
email.
Does this. Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so...
I love that.
You go to the Walmart, you kill some time while I'm driving there. And by the way, like, we talked on the phone. I'm like, give me the breakdown. Like, what do you think happened?
Yeah.
That's my big thing. Like, I like to analyze
and did
it.
Did I not give you full details? And you're like, because...
You did, actually.
Because that first buck, like, I'm giving you... And, dude, you're asking a lot of questions. When you asked me, I gave you, like, three answers. You're like, okay. Because you're like, which way did you run? You ran that way. What was it? It was full speed. Okay, what happened? Yeah, the arrow was kind of sticking here. He's like, all right, cool. I'll be there. I was like... That like just because of how the answers I gave you and the way you were sounding, I was like, oh, this deer's dead.
You didn't hear the god damn it, Steve.
No, it's like I
love to break down like blood trails and stuff. Like I had a couple guys call me, listeners call me last week about a deer they shot, and I'm like, I just like that. It's a learning thing, dude.
It was definitely.
Plus, it's a challenge. Like, I'm like, oh man, I think it sounds like you probably hit him here. Like,
it can be the most enjoyable part of the hunt.
If it ends up good,
So, Kurt shows up, and you know, I got me a couple slices of Casey's pizza, and I saved a slice for Kurt because I was like, shit, dude,
gotta feed daddy. So
I was like, no, my luck, man. We might be searching for this deer for a while.
Hello, Papa. You find my deer for me, Papa. Here's the pizza, Papa.
Anyone need a Bush Light while I'm down here?
Go to hell.
Oh, okay. Fuck you. I'm trying to offer you something. So I was like literally just telling a story about how I offered you food, and then I offer you a beer. Oh, go to hell, Steve.
Continue on.
Maybe I wasn't on second shift. Maybe I was taking a break from you guys.
Hey, you don't talk to Papa like that.
Shut up. You're the suck up. You're the suck up asshole son.
I'm the good son.
Children,
okay?
Continue with their story, Steve.
You're the stepson. I'm the blood child. Anyway, so Kurt gets there and... And we had some interesting conversations before we get in there. I don't want to get into that. But me and Kurt get in the woods.
Talk to Lieutenant Dan for fucking 15 minutes.
Shit.
Lieutenant Dan.
Continue.
Anyway,
quickly.
We get there, and like I'm showing it, and like... You know, you guys that want Kurt on a blood trail, Kurt's an asshole when you go out to look for
what?
Fucking deer.
I am?
No, I just want to throw that out there. No, you're very direct, and you're like, okay, where was this at? Like, you're like the fucking detective, dude. You're like the alcoholic detective.
Alcoholic detective.
You're like trying to get this information. I'm like, calm down. I'm trying to figure it out, man. I'm a battered man. I was like, what? But anyway, I'm just talking shit. So we get there, and you're like, all right, break it down. I was like, all right. There's a blind. I'm like, I shot him around here. And we're like...
Because we haven't even found blood yet. That's what I'm trying to do.
No, we haven't. And
you got to understand, man, when you tell me stories in the past, like the buck that you hit before that we didn't find...
I know, yeah.
It was very vague, and I had to dig a lot out of you. So I'm like, listen, and it's late on a Sunday night. I got to be to work.
Yeah.
I got to get up at 4 a.m. Like, I'm kind of like, all right, man, let's break this down.
Right. And this one, I was trying to give you information. And,
all business.
And so I'm like... I was like, oh, dude, I shot him here. And you're like, which way did he go? And I go, it was like that way. But it's different. So when you walk over like, you know, 20 yards, it's like, which way did he go? I'm like, I was fairly certain he went this way. But now that I'm looking at it, so.
You're just, nervous.
Dude, and I was nervous. Like when we didn't find blood right away, I did get a little nervous. And
well, you said the shot was quartering away. So I was like, well, it depends if you poke through the other side. If you get blood right away, or if it's going to be a few, you know, 10, 20 yards.
See, and that's the thing I said, you know, because, like, I didn't see, you know, I know I saw the arrow sticking out. So, like, my first initial reaction was like, oh, shit, shoulder shot. Not good. He started, you know, so we start walking away a little bit, kind of going towards where he ran. And, you know, we got the flashlights going. And it was at the same time you're like, blood. And that was one of the most relieving feelings I've had. It's like, okay, at least there's blood. We have something to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And we walk probably 3-4 more steps, and then it just starts oozing.
That, I think that was the point. When we found the first blood, I remember saying, like, okay, yeah, this looks good.
You're like, okay, you're like, that's good blood. And I know, like, I was almost down on my hands and knees. I'm like, Kurt, you're sure this is good blood? You know, and you're like, yeah, dude, it looks good. I'm like, okay. So we start walking a little bit more, and you're like, yeah, there's blood here. But, like, I'm looking where you're at, and then I see blood. So you're looking at blood. What came out of his left side, and then there's blood on the right side. So I go, yeah, there's blood here. I go, well, there's blood over here. I'm like, I must have got a pass through.
Yeah.
And you were like, hey, sometimes, you know, you pass through, and that shoulder pushes. They run, and that pushes an arrow out.
Yeah, like an accordion way shot. I've had it happen to where if you shoot, you poke through, but you might hit the opposite leg or the opposite shoulder.
Uh-huh.
And you poke through both sides, you have an entry and an exit hole. But your arrow, if you're watching the fletching, looks like it kicks out.
Yeah, and it definitely...
It's deceiving. Like, you did get a pass through, you poke through both sides, you're going to have blood on both sides, but...
Because you were... Okay, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your arrow didn't go clean through and stick in the ground. It went through, hit the opposing shoulder or something, and then it might have kicked out a little bit.
Yeah.
And that's where, like, people get... When I see a quartering away shot on video, it's like I shot a few deer at quartering away. It's like, at first you're like, ah, that looks far back. But think about the whole arrow shaft. You bury it to the fletching. You got 26, 27 inches, depends on your draw.
Yeah, what's a deer's rib cage like?
I don't know, man.
13, maybe? There's no way a deer's two feet across.
Bigger. Maybe 15 inches, maybe?
Because, yeah.
So if you bury a whole arrow to the fletching, it's quartering away, and you get that right angle up that shoulder. If you hit that opposing shoulder on a quartering away shot, you're in the money.
Yeah.
You did what you needed to do.
I'd say I've seen some shots where it's all the way back of the paunch, but, I mean, it goes all the way up to the fletchings, and you're hitting, like, the front of the brisket.
Yeah.
Yeah, if a deer's quartering hard and you put it in, that's a harder shot, but...
If you do it, ooh.
Yeah, you're in the money. If you can get a slightly quartering away shot and you aim for your exit hole, you're going to, you know your equipment, you're going to devastate an animal pretty quick.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, you know, we get up there and I was like, okay, that's a good sign. If we're getting blood on both sides, and I think you took like one or two more steps and you go, oh, you're like, dude, you've got a dead deer, my friend. And it was right there. Me and you hugged each other because like you were like, dude, this deer's fucking done. Because we ended up walking probably 15, 20 yards from where I initially shot him to where we found blood.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you know, just think that cavity has to fill up with blood before it starts coming out. And I remember, like, yeah, this deer's dead. And you're like, we are going to find him. It's just a matter of where we're going to find him. So, you know, we're starting to go. I go, hey, there's going to be a hill down here. There's going to be a ravine. And I go, if he's dead, he's going to be in that ravine. That's just what I assumed, but it's a long ass ravine. So I gave myself a little, room for error, but, we're going and we just keep finding blood and we get to the hill. And this is where it was great having someone like you who's experienced. You're like, okay, we're going downhill. He's going to pick up speed. You're going to lose the blood trail a little bit. Just keep hanging on.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember you kept getting antsy. You kept wanting to look ahead. I'm like, nope, stay on your blood.
Yeah, and then you kept
look
like
down.
Because I remember you were shining your light up, and I'd look up, and you'd shine your light down. You're like, bad Steve, stay on this.
Well, it's like you need to like
all the
that's
way.
The thing. Like, watch your blood. You learn more about watching that blood trail.
Yeah.
Than looking up, walking over that blood
doing
trail,
a
looking,
body search.
Yeah.
Yeah. So and the one of the stranger things was. You know, for me, I would have thought, you know, if something happened, he would have taken something that he might have been comfortable with. Because, like, there's trails that are kind of going off, but he's just making kind of a weird path. And
that's called, he's devastated. Like, they're hit hard, they're just going.
They'll just run in a straight line, doesn't matter.
And it was weird trying to figure out, I'm like, okay, why is he going up this way? Now he's cutting this way. So, that was one of those things that.
I think you're over-exaggerating that.
No. Yeah, I'm not saying
it was
saying
a pretty much straight line.
It was
sound like he's zigzagging.
There was just like a couple of like hills that I thought, you know, maybe he would have hung a left to go to more open stuff. It wasn't too much of like zigzagging. It was a straight line, but kind of the way that he took to get that straight line, if that makes any sense. So anyway, we're getting on the blood trail and it starts tailing off a little bit. And you're like, dude, just hang on. And we keep seeing blood and keep seeing blood. And then you're like, there he is. And I see him piled up there. And I'm like, oh, shit, dude. You know, it was like, that deer's dead. And I just remember, like, going up to him. And you ended up getting this on video. It's on the latest
Carbon episode.
On the Carbon,
and
yeah.
It's a beginning part of our memories segment, which is at the end of the Carbon episode. But
which is awesome.
Yeah. Jordan killed it. Combination Creative. Big shout out. Killed it. Absolutely killed that.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead with that.
Yeah. No. So, you were, I remember you were like, oh shit. Yeah. I got to film his reaction. I was like, that's cool. But like, I need to get to this deer. And I get there, and dude, this is like the prettiest looking deer I've ever seen in my life, man. This is the property like where I first started hunting, and I had never killed a deer on this property. So
first buck, dog, you got it done.
So getting up on that deer, you know, I don't want to get emotional here, but I think I'm gonna.
Dude, that was a cool feel. I was pumped for you because I know what it's like to chase something like that.
Yep.
Well, and
that's why I'm glad you can tell in the video you're pumped, but like it gets weird. But like,
yeah,
I know what you mean because like my first buck's right here, mounted on the wall. I chased that deer, not that deer specifically. I chased a buck for a long time, and when I shot mine, it was like it was an amazing feeling of like relief, but it was like the chase was over.
Mm-hmm.
The ice break was over. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I I just remember. So, I get up there, and I think you still have the full video, of like, you know, the carbon part shows like,
yeah, I can play some of it probably.
Yeah, if you want to, and I'll tell you what was going through my head. So
continue on while I get this ready.
Yeah.
How far did he go?
shit, including that little 60 yards,
maybe.
Oh, 60?
Maybe a little further, probably 80 yards.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah,
I mean that's seconds. Yeah,
he got a little downhill trot too. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, you know, I didn't take nothing away. So like, I get up on him and.
I'm scared to play our videos because I don't know what the fuck we say in them because we're so dumb. All right, hold on. Let me see. All right. Let's try this.
Steve, what'd you do?
Put something down over there.
This is like the raw video.
We might just have to show this to people, dude.
Buff, dude.
Oh yeah.
Don't straddle him. There you go.
Yeah.
No. Congrats, man. Hey, shut your headlamp off, will you? Nice.
Yeah, he came in at 14 yards, and I just couldn't let him live. So, man, break out the hen dog. Oh man.
That's awesome, man. Congrats.
Oh shit. Oh, it feels so good to put a hand on antlers, man. He came in and just decided he wanted me to shoot him, so. I had to put a buck on the ground, man.
It's okay. Awesome.
He's a solid 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pointer.
There you go. Awesome. Yeah, you smoked him.
An arrow right there. I did get a pass through.
Yeah, I don't know. Your arrow went flying. He bled like crazy. Probably went 40 yards.
Yeah, 40 yards maybe.
40 yards,
congrats, dude.
Right.
He broke the ice, man. That's what. That's all it takes.
This is my favorite deer I've ever shot, man. It was awesome.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
That's it.
And
right
he
there.
Probably did go 40 yards. Like, it was dark. The whole shit going through my head. Like, I bet if I go out there and.
Oh, here, I got another little 18 second video of you pulling him out. I don't know if there's any talking in this. It might just be you dragging him. A lot of leaf crunching. Sorry, everyone.
Go haul out.
That's why I have to shoot bigger deer.
Oh, my God. No wonder that horse pasture was so rough for you.
Dude, I'm going to bring you to fucking drag one of my deer out. That's cool, though.
Hey, I only shoot deer as mature as me, but...
the thing is, that's cool, man, is that was your first buck.
Uh-huh.
We talk about... And maybe other people wouldn't do this. Maybe they would. I hope that they would. We talk about that openly. And you said on the video, it's a 5-pointer. It's my favorite deer. You were jacked up about it. You're going to get emotional over it. You're mounting this deer.
Oh, yeah.
It goes back to, if you go back to Clint Casper's episode, when it goes back to the, like, buck shaming, we only had one person buck shame you, which I got rid of that shit quick because I don't like it.
Yeah.
But it's, dude, like, I'm so happy for you that you got that done, and I'm going to be a little lighter on you because of this, but what I don't want you to see is, like, I don't want to see you, like, lax up because... I feel you're just now starting to get bit by the bow hunting bug.
Yeah.
Just now. Like, that's just the start of it.
It is. And, you know, because I do want to talk about how special that deer was to me, too, to kind of tie it back in. Because, again, I'd never killed any deer on this property. And this is a property, like, I learned. And I'm sure I fucked up a lot. Like, I fuck up a lot of shit in my life.
That's how you learn, though, dude, especially in bow hunting.
It is. Sure. And all the shit that was going on in my life, you know, not to go into too much detail, but if you guys listen to the show, you know, shit is weird for me right now. So I've got a lot of new experiences that are going on in my life, and this is the first... bow season that I don't, I don't have any, well, I shouldn't say that, but it was weird because this is the first bow season that I've been a single man. And so I was able to fucking get after it, man. Like it was cool. But then again, you know,
the thing is,
like,
you always could have got after it.
And I always could have. And, you know, to feel the joy of, killing this deer. Like when I saw that deer dead,
I know the feeling of chasing. Like, I know there's a lot of people out there who know that feeling of, like, they're chasing a certain goal. Like, they're chasing their first buck with a bow. They're chasing their first deer with a bow. They're chasing a different caliber of deer with a bow. They're chasing some goal. And,
yeah,
like I said a bunch of times on carbon episodes and on regular podcast episodes, sometimes it seems impossible.
It does. And
but that's the cool thing about it, because when you do make it happen, it's like, oh my gosh, it happened. And the respect, like, we sit here and we cuss and drink beer, we're having a good time now, we're like, we're just reminiscing, but at the moment it's such a sobering, like, just respect type feeling that goes on that you can't explain it unless you're really in that moment.
Yeah, and one of the best things that could have happened, and not to sound, you know, like a pussy, but like it was cool.
Nah, too late.
It was cool having Kurt, having you there, because, you know, I started bow hunting before I met you, but, you know, you're one of those guys that's like always on my ass to like get out there, and just, you got to get out there because you never know what's going to happen. And, you know, I saw this buck. It was a start of something that I know is going to be incredible in my life, and I'm glad you were there with me. I probably wouldn't have found this deer without you too, if I'm just being honest.
You would have found it.
But it was cool. But that first deer, because the two deer that I shot were a week apart. So, you know, that first deer, when I shot that deer, I heard the loudest pop ever, and my ass thought, oh shit, I missed this deer and smoked a tree. I'm like, that's how loud this pop was. And I'm like texting you, and you're like, you know, you'll find this deer. And I go, hey, you know what? This is going to be for me, but I want to go find this deer. Like, I kind of want to be on this trail. If I can't, you know, I'll call you. But I'm like, you were like, dude, that's good blood. So that first deer I found, and again, it was like 50 yards. It was just, yeah, right down there. That was really special for me, because it was like, okay, I need to be able to, in order to continue going after things, I need to do things on my own. And I need to get it done by myself, and I need to absorb everything. So that was kind of like a chip shot. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, but you learn a lot from doing things that way.
I'm like, yeah, and I wish his deer would have ran a little bit and this is gonna sound stupid, but like, yeah, I wish I would have had more of a challenge finding this deer, just so I know what to do in the event of
Papa Dave coming in the studio
bigger.
Right now.
Hey,
Papa Squat,
Papa Dave, Pops,
you want on a mic?
How you doing?
All right, he's gonna sit while we finish up the episode. Dave. Anyway,
so yeah, getting
Papa Dave, we're talking about Steve's buck. We're catching up on his kill. This is his episode. He just called you a pussy, I felt.
He did. Yeah, he's like, oh, way to go, pussy. I remember my first deer kill. Good to see you, Papa Dave.
Oh, nice to be here.
So, yeah, it was a good experience, but again,
you
know.
Pull up that mic, Dad, if you want. Might as well pull it up. Here, I'll help you. Go ahead and continue, Steve. Yeah.
Well, I might have to get all the way, too.
No, you're right.
I think he's got it. All right, so you find that first year it was cool, but you know, actually putting antler on the ground was a it's one of those feelings that
it's a milestone, man.
Yeah, you know, you're in the moment and you're like all pumped up and jacked up, and it's just, it's great. You know, I was with Kurt. You know, we were getting out there, and it was like a relief. It was weird. It felt like the pressure was off, but it was back on again. So, you know, like, I knew, okay, I got antler on the ground, but, you know, now it's like, okay. And we had talked about this because, you know, like, we had laid out the season. It was like, you know, Kurt's always like, hey, kill a doe, put some antler on the ground, and then put a really good deer on the ground, and I still got a hunt coming up with Paul Biggs.
Is that 100%?
Yeah. Why? Do you know information I don't?
No, I'm just still asking if yeah, you're going to go.
No, I'll still go, because I've never been to Oklahoma before, and I think it would be a good little hunt. But
yeah, good big hunt. That's a big hunt.
Yeah, it is a big hunt.
You're going to Oklahoma to hunt with Paul Biggs.
There's a lot of people that pay a lot
of money.
A
major producer for the outdoor group.
Paul's my hero, too, so that's a
thing is, like, I was... expecting you to, and I think I feel that you kind of have chilled out a little, which you deserve a little celebration break, but you could make the best season ever.
And that's the goal. I'm like, because if I can tag out, you know, this weekend, like, and that was the thing. It was like, you know, why don't you have the best season that you can? And I've got some meat in the freezer, and now I can focus on a really nice Illinois whitetail, get that done, have a great season, and then go get a bonus hunt here. It's still going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to this hunt, but at the same time, my goal is to put a really good buck on the ground before then. I've got a month to get it done, and if
it's super doable, man.
If I gotta grind it out, it's super doable
if you grind it out.
The day after. So to break that down,
With Papa Dave a lot about how you don't grind it out, and if you did, how you'd kill shit. Don't I? Don't we?
Oh yeah.
I grind it out. So, you know, I was working nights, and it was always cool because we were working 4:10s, and I'd get off of work on Friday morning at 2 a.m., drive back to the crib, go make some Hunter's Blend coffee. Best tasting coffee I've ever had in my fucking life, if I'm going to be honest with you.
It is good, dude. It is good.
I could drink the shit out of that and get home, make some coffee. So, like, you guys know I'm living with my parents. Ain't no fucking secret. My dad always has it. My dad always takes his little coffee, you know, and he's got his shit in there. So, like, I take that out, and I take his little, you know,
his filter
out with his coffee. I set off the side. I brew my coffee, get that shit ready to go, you know, fill up, dump out, and put his shit back ready to go.
Just move your dad's coffee up.
I'm not drinking his Folgers bullshit, and he's not going to appreciate this coffee because he's one of those old guys. So that's how I was going, and, dude, it would be awesome. You know, I'd be out there. I'd get out, like, hunt, like, Friday morning, 4 a.m., be out in the state. Well,
that should be Hunter's Blend's new quote. He's not gonna, I'm not going to drink that Folgers bullshit, and he isn't going to appreciate this.
No, I'm serious. So, yeah, I... And that's how it's going. So, dude, I would go and hunt, and it'd be like, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning. I was hunting early mornings. I'm like, hey, fuck it, dude. Everyone's like, oh, don't hunt mornings early season. I'm like, yeah, fuck you. That's the only time I can. I'd come home, I'd drive home an hour, sleep for like 2 hours, head back out, hunt, come back home, sleep, and then hunt the weekends. And it was a really, really rewarding feeling to put antler on the ground and, you know, have my homie there. And it was just like, okay, that's great. Now the real shit gets a start. Now, like, I have to... Now it's not like, oh, shoot, anything if it's brown, it's down. It's like, okay, dude, focus on a certain deer.
Right.
And try to figure it out. And
I think you can get it done. I think you can get another one down.
It's going to happen.
The biggest thing is don't try to take too big of a step.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not to the 180 class yet.
No, not yet. There's a stepping stone, dude. I'm glad the deer that I shot was...
I'm going to start an Instagram Live while you're telling the story.
Yeah, that's fine.
Continue on.
Yeah. The deer that I shot, begin, you know, it doesn't matter how big any other deer are going to be. This is my favorite deer.
Yep.
And you know, I'm glad I wasn't spoiled with, like, just, like, coming out and smoking, like, a giant, 150, yeah, like, right away.
Yeah.
You know, it is a really good feeling to have a buck on the ground. And I would shoot that deer again. And that was kind of the thing that I was curious about. I'm like, oh, shit, if another deer of his size walks out, I'm like, am I going to shoot it again? I don't know. That was kind of the curious thing. I'm like, if I see another buck just... any antler, doesn't matter. Am I going to smoke it? I don't know. And if another deer his size came out and my heart started racing, I'm going to shoot him.
Yep.
I don't know.
I don't blame you, man.
But, you know, again, it's that next level. It's like, where do I want to take bow hunting? And I don't really honestly know the answer of where I want to take my bow hunting, because if I get the same joy of shooting any kind of buck, I'll do it. I mean, if it's got to be like, you know, yeah, dude, I'm at the point now where I'm like, if the deer still gets my heart pumping, I will. I think I'll shoot it, but I don't know. I haven't seen I haven't seen any smaller bucks that have come out like that. So, you know, I'm not one of those guys like, oh, don't waste a buck tag on that. Like, shit, dude, if I want to shoot it, I'm gonna shoot it. If it's legal, yep. I'm gonna do it. But that's just kind of where I'm really curious to where my journey's gonna go, because from when I started to where I'm at now, it was like, dude, anything with antlers, if you can get a shot at it, shoot it.
Right.
Now that I've done that, I don't know. Dude, that a smaller rag deer might come out and it might get my heart pumping again and I might shoot it. I have no idea.
I don't know what's going on with our
hello
shit. Anyway, yeah.
That's just kind of where I'm at. So I don't know. I'm really curious to see where my head's at when whatever deer comes out. So that's going to be half the excitement for me.
Yep.
I mean, it just might be part of the progression. I know I want to shoot a bigger deer. Obviously, I do. But, you know, it'll be hard for me to pull the reins back.
Shoot what makes you happy, dude. If you want to shoot another one of those, do it. Like, I'm not going to tell you
that. And I might, but I'm like, dude, I want to put some good mounts on the wall just because, you know.
One step at a time, sir.
I want to shoot a 10-point like Kurt so I can hang, like, you know, 10 thongs off off that thing,
oh,
you know.
God.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening to the Working Class
Bowhunter. Hey, come on. I had to throw it in. But, dude, it was a great experience. And I'm tickled that I could tell you guys all about it. So
yeah,
well, we gave you a whole episode to tell your drawn out story, my friend.
Holy shit, dude! I promised it wouldn't go this long, but it did. So thank you guys for listening to my story. Get me drunk at a bar; I'll tell it to you again sometime.
Why don't you, since you killed a buck finally, why don't you give us a go shoot your bow? Give us a good closing.
What the fuck is going on?
What
here?
In the?
Anyway, go ahead.
All right, guys. Hey, I'm Steve with the Working Class Bowhunter Podcast. I got it done. You can too. Go shoot your bow.